Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Everybody say, it's time I took dominion. It's time I took dominion. It's time I took dominion. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, our famous scripture, praise be to God. In verse 16, and it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What does the word believe mean?
Follow.
To follow. To follow. He who follows will be saved. He who doesn't follow won't. And these signs will follow those who follow me. Amen. And he says these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who actually are following him. Because if you're following him, signs are going to follow you, aren't they? And as you're following him, you earn his trust, and then you can use his name because he gives you power of attorney. And these signs will follow those who believe in me, in my name, because you got power of attorney. They will what? Cast out demons. I wonder why that's the first thing. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. And they will what? Speak with new tongues. And that does not mean about going to college and learning another language. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly, and will by no means hurt them. Of course, we're not supposed to test God and go out and drink cyanide, and you'll die. They will lay hands on a sick, and they will what? Recover. So, we see that something happens when we begin to follow the Lord. As though something's reestablished to me and you. His presence begins to come on us. We begin to change more and more. Your mind begins to change more and more. Things begin to get renewed. It's when you stop following that things get stagnant. We're to follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Every day. Follow doesn't mean to look. Follow means to follow. Amen? Something happens as you follow him. In Acts 1:8, if you'll turn there for a second. In Acts 1:8, hallelujah, in the book of Acts, in chapter 1 and verse 8, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus said, but you shall receive what?
Power.
Power. When the what? Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall receive what?
Power.
To be what? A witness. See, as you follow him, as you walk in his footsteps, as you begin to follow him, something happens. You become like him. By the Spirit of God, who was Jesus, he was known as the Christ, wasn't he? Jesus was the Anointed One. The name of the Anointed One is Jesus. He was the power of God that was sent to this earth. His Spirit awaits a tabernacle. His Spirit awaits to enter us and to dwell in us. God is looking for a holy sanctuary And as he abides in us, dwells in us, flows through us, signs will follow us. Is everybody with me? Would you turn to Genesis 1? Hallelujah. Taking dominion. Taking dominion. In chapter 1 and verse 27. Praise God. Is everybody there? Actually, let's start at verse 26 so that we know what's happening. Then God said, let us make man in what? Our image according to our likeness. That's powerful, isn't it? Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In other words, let's make him in our character. We know that man does not look like God because God is spirit, isn't he? Okay. But he was saying, let us make them in our image, in our character, in our likeness. And in verse 27 it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Everything. God created Adam and Eve to have dominion over all things, no matter what it was. They had power. In fact, Adam was the ruler of the earth, wasn't he? And Eve was his partner. Adam was ruler. He had dominion over everything. They could have called Moby Dick out of the ocean and said, come on, let's go riding. The Bible says that even God sent all the animals to Adam, and he said, Adam, you name it. So we know that Adam had dominion and authority because he was placed in an office of that, wasn't he? Now I'll go to Genesis 3. And in verse 1 it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So, we're dealing with a power of darkness that is the most cunning beast created. I want you to understand something. If you don't acknowledge your enemy, he's acknowledging you. You must acknowledge him, not in conversation. Does everybody understand that? But you must know his tactics. Actually, you must respect, but not honor. Because he's wiped us out so many times, and he's conned us so many times, hasn't he? So we must get into a place where we must recognize the enemy in our life. Amen? Now, in verse 22, it says that, because we know what happened to Eve and Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed God, didn't they? And so they sinned, didn't they? And in verse 22 it says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us to know good and evil. You think God wanted them to know good and evil? No. God wanted to train them his way, didn't he? Amen. The devil started to train them his way. And now so the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove him out, the man, of his place, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So he removed him from his presence, and he put a guard there so that he couldn't get back and eat the tree of life, so that he would not walk around for the rest of his life knowing good and evil, because he knew what it was going to affect him. Actually, what had happened is he started off to be an offspring of God, and he turned to be an offspring of darkness. And all of the offsprings from then forth on were offsprings of darkness. That's why you and I are born in darkness, and we must come to light. That's why you must be born again. Does everybody understand that? There's something that happened to Adam and Eve. The first thing they did when they sinned is they gave up their dominion. They gave it away. They gave it up. They gave up holiness, and they gave up the sanctuary with God in his presence. And they picked up the knowledge of good and evil, didn't they? From that point on, they were put under a spiritual law of sin and death. From that point on. And everyone under them was put up, that would be born into this world would be put under the law of sin and death. That's why everything that's born is heading to death, isn't it? Nothing is brought into the world heading to life. I mean, it has life, but it's on its way to death. Even from the first day a child comes into the earth, even though it's living, it's still heading towards death, isn't it? It's not heading towards life until that child is born again. Amen? Then it is heading towards eternal life. So we see that sin is a representation of ungodliness, and death is a representation of separation from God. Does everybody understand that? So something had to happen. We had to be born again so that we can get removed from this spiritual law of sin and death, of ungodliness and of separation from God. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. Well, what happened? Well, they lost dominion, didn't they? So everyone born into the world has no dominion until they're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and have power so that they can follow the King of Glory, and that signs and wonders can follow them. And they can take dominion. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans 10. Simple, short teaching. Praise God. Simple, short teaching. Romans chapter 10. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. God is good. In verse 1. Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of what law? The law of sin and death. Does everybody get that? Now, we know that the word Christ means anointed, doesn't it? It's a Greek word, representation, the anointed. We know that Jesus is the Christ, and the name of the Christ is Jesus. We know that the Word says that the Holy Spirit is known as the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? So we know that Jesus is the name of the Anointed One with His anointing. So we see that when we come in Christ, right, we're no longer under the law of sin and death, are we? Because he paid the price for me and you. As long as we stay in it. The moment we begin to walk out of it, we become underneath that law. And we are headed on our way to outer darkness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everybody all right? Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus the Christ. Does everybody see that? So no other foundation can be laid, can it? None, no matter what. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Now, what are those materials? Worldly. Creation materials. What God created. Amen? In other words, you can't build on those things a spiritual temple. It doesn't work. In other words, you can't buy the anointing. You can't buy salvation. Does everybody get that? You can't buy victory, can you? You can't buy the power of God. In fact, there was one of those sorcerers in the Bible that tried to, didn't he? And I rebuked him. Because they were laying hands on people, and he saw them get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they said, man, we want that. And they rebuked him. Now, if anyone builds on these, in verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it, what? Endures, he will receive a reward. So depending on what you're building on, whether it burns, determines whether you receive a reward or not, doesn't it? Let's go a little further. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, isn't it strange? I mean, come on, let's get real serious here for a second. How we lose sight that we are the temple of a holy God. Oh, do we lose sight of how we are a temple of the Most Holy God? That we are carrying the God Almighty, the temple, that we are carrying the Spirit of God that created the earth that we're standing on. That when you look up into the sky and you see the sun and you see the moon and you see the stars, that same God that created all those things is in you and in me. Wow, do we lose sight of those things? Because we don't stay in the Spirit. Because we don't stay in the Spirit. Verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Whoa. And why would he allow you to be destroyed? Because the wages of sin is death. Defiling the temple means sin. Sin. God is dealing with his people in a great way. He's saying, stop the sinning. Because you don't know when he'll return. If you're practicing sin when he returns, you'll stay. We lose sight of who we are. We get so busy about the stone and the straw and the wood that we lose sight that we are a holy temple of God Almighty. There isn't one person in this room, including myself, that doesn't lose sight of that sometimes. But we need to change that. and needs to change tonight. A foundation of Christ must endure. We must endure, no matter what. To receive a reward, that reward at a present time is known as victory. At an eternal time, it's with your daddy. So that reward means two things, doesn't it? It means a present victory, and it means an eternal life. Because if you can't have a present victory, you're not going to gain an eternal life. The defiling of the temple is a representation of sin, and we know that the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. In 1 John. Hallelujah. In 1 John. Praise be to God. Taking dominion. Taking dominion. We need to take dominion. Hallelujah. In 1 John and chapter 1. 1 John and chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Listen to that, please. If we say that we have fellowship with him, right? But we don't practice the truth, God calls us a liar and we're in darkness. Does everybody get that? It's important. Because if you and I are not practicing the truth, that means we're practicing lawlessness. There is no in-between. You're either practicing the truth or you're practicing a lie from Satan. No in-between. Let's go further. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why? Because truth always reveals sin. Every one of us sins every single day, don't we? Now we know that there's sin that leads to death and sin that leads not to death. In other words, if we say we don't sin, we're walking in darkness because we're blinded of our own sin. Does everybody get that? Let me repeat that. If we say we don't sin, that means we're blinded of our own sin. And we're walking in darkness. Well, I didn't sin today. You're blinded. And God calls you a liar. Is there any day I can't sin? No. We sin every single day. By thought, by word, by deed, by disobedience, right? No matter what it is. But we must be quick to confess. Because a holy, righteous God dwells within us. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. If we say that we do not sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, confession brings possession. Nothing is activated until you speak it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Yow. In other words, now, who is this written to? Amen. The church. He's saying, My word is abiding in you. Or you might have read my word, it used to be, but it's not, you're not using it now, so it's not abiding in you. Hello? So those who are not practicing truth are practicing lawlessness and they are walking in darkness. Okay? In chapter 2, in verse 3. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for who? The whole world. The whole world. Not just for us, but for the whole world. So not only for believers, but for unbelievers, isn't he? Now by this we know that we know him if what? We keep his commandments, or we walk in the truth. You know how many people say they know him and don't walk in the truth? They don't know him, do they? Or they met him and then walked away from him. Does everybody get it? Because you cannot practice truth unless you're fellowshipping with truth. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Does everybody get that? In other words, there's a difference of not only him being in us, but now he wants us in him. Does everybody get that? Not only does the Spirit of God dwell within us, but he wants us in him. Wasn't the poor man in the bosom of Lazarus? I mean, in the bosom of Abraham? Remember the beggar that was out there? Where did the rich man see him? He was in the bosom of Abraham. See, not only does the Spirit of God dwell in us, but God is saying, now I want you in me. That's different. In him is called the secret place of the Most High. In him is the dwelling place. In him is the high tower, the refuge. In him is where everything is. In him. So we must not only acknowledge that we are the temple of a holy God, but he's asking us to also be in him. Where we are covered by his presence. Not only do we carry his presence, but we are covered by his presence. That's why the Lord says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he didn't say in you. Now we know that he comes in us, doesn't he? But there's an anointing that comes upon us when we're dwelling in him, where the yoke is destroyed. We are free from the law of sin and death. Because we have dominion over it. Not that we don't sin, but sin doesn't have dominion over us. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. I want to go to verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the Bible tells us if you have fellowship, if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Now, what's he talking about again? There's things of the stone, the wood, the straw, building on those things again. Let's keep going. Hallelujah. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And who is the ruler of the world? Amen. Do you understand that when you walk from out of the covering of God, you walk under the authority of Satan? If you're practicing lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, you are under the authority of Satan, and you are headed on the way to separation. Sin is the wage, is the wages of sin is death. Okay? Let's go to John 8. John 8. John chapter 8. Praise God. Praise God. And they brought a woman to Jesus, and they caught her in adultery. There's something awesome that the Lord said to this woman, and if we could just pick it up. Now Jesus, he said a profound thing two times. In verse 7, as they brought this woman, they wanted to stone this woman. And in verse 7 it says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, if he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Right? And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. What did he say? Go and sin no more. In other words, do not. What was she doing? She was breaking covenant, wasn't she? She was committing adultery. He said, now, that sin, is a sin that is in the wages of death. That's a sin unto death. Now, Mom, we said that there's sin not unto death, and there's sin that leads to death. That's sin that leads to death. Okay? So he said something. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Then he says, then Jesus spoke to them again and saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In other words, you got to follow him. The only reason why people fall into sin unto death is because they're not following him. By following him, it maintains the presence of God in our life. It also maintains the power of God, because with his presence comes power. The only reason why we fall and we go from left to right and we get sucked into the things of the world is because we actually lose sight. We must make a conscious effort to be in the Spirit at all times. That's our responsibility. Turn to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Praise be to God. You know, we started off saying that Jesus is the only foundation. In Galatians 4, in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the what? Law. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Praise God. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave to what? Sin and death. But a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ, because Christ is the representation of the Anointed One and his anointing. So we see that we are no longer, when we are in Christ, we are no longer a slave to that sin, the law of sin and death. But we are redeemed by the impartation of his Spirit, freed by the anointing, acknowledged by the Spirit, confirmed by the Spirit that we are His sons and heirs of all righteousness, all blessings, and all promises. That's the importance of having fellowship with the Spirit, because God is Spirit, and if you're not in the Spirit, you can't have fellowship with Him. That's why a lot of people can memorize the Word and don't know Him. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Praise be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. Hallelujah. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So we should no longer live for ourselves, should we? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Why? He's saying we're to go into the Spirit and look through the eyes of the Spirit, and to be guided by the Spirit, not by what we feel or what we think, or according to the flesh. You know how many people are bound in the soulish realm by the emotions? It's killer. Because the spirit man is not born or not strengthened, so they don't have dominion over what they feel or what they see. Does everybody get that? That's why your spirit man must be born again, strengthened, and anointed by the Holy Spirit, so that you can take dominion over those things. You'll never have dominion over those things without the presence of God. You know, the anointing on our life, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that anoints us is actually anointing our flesh so that we have dominion over it. Not only is He strengthening our spirit, man, but He's anointing our flesh so we can say no to those things. No. Hallelujah. And verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? Now let me share something with you. Very, very important. I want you to look at the scripture. It says, he who is in Christ. He's in Christ. It doesn't mean that because you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It means if you're in Christ, abiding in Him, walking in the anointing, walking in the Spirit, you are maintaining a new creation. And let me share something with you that's very important. You're walking in this new creation. The Word says that if you build on anything God has delivered you from, it's an abomination. So you're walking in this new creation. You're a new creation right now. Listen, you're a new creation now than before you came in here. The person that was out there before you came in there is not the new creation. The new creation is the creation of now, because He is the God of now. You are walking in a new creation right now, this moment, this instant, this second. In this breath is that new creation. I remember one day I said, Lord, I'm changing day by day, hour by hour. He says, no, guy, it's breath by breath. It's breath by breath. I said, whoa. Now, what the devil wants to do, let me just share with you. Let's say you got delivered from cigarettes, which is the simple, greatest example. How many people go back and fall because they pick up a cigarette? especially people bound by drugs or alcohol before. They've been smoking cigarettes and so forth. Or it can be anything of your past besides that. You'll be walking in this new creation. The devil will want to slip. If he can slip in anything from your past, anything, and you grab hold of it, your new creation stops. Because you're not walking in it anymore, are you? You've grabbed hold of something from the past. Does everybody understand this? It's so important. You will not walk in that new creation if you have grabbed something from the past. You will stop. Your growth of new creation will cease immediately right there. You won't be growing in new creation. And it's just a matter of time where you begin to do this. Because once you've picked up that, you'll pick up something else. You'll pick up something else. The devil loves to send women across our path from our past. Old friends across our path. People, places, and things, whatever it may be. If you pick up one thing and get entangled at all, unless it's ordained by God, your new creation stopped immediately. And it's just a matter of time. So if he can slide this, anything from your past, right in, and he taps on your shoulder and says, "Hey, so you didn't listen. Hey," what is he doing? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. See, he's already planted the seeds, and he's waiting for you to get your attention. And sometimes you don't even know it. He slips it right in there, and it's in your hand. Because you're not in the Spirit, and you can't discern what's going on. Does everybody understand? See, that's why it's important for you and I to stay in the Spirit. Can you stay in the Spirit at all times? You know, just trusting, holding on. Amen. You know when you begin to flow out. You can sense that. When you begin, you know when you begin to struggle. You know, it's like walking down the hallway. You know, you can walk from this side to this side, but once you start going in another direction or opening a door in somewhere else, you know, you can sense that. You can feel that. That your flesh is beginning to take dominion. In other words, we're not taking dominion over it. Now, flesh or sin's beginning to take dominion over us. The thoughts come. The woe is me comes. The I can't do comes. The remembrance of the past comes. The sins of the past. Then the devil starts telling you about your past, how it's going to affect your future. Oh, don't you remember what you did? And everything else. No, that's not me. I'm a new creation right now. I might have done that 10 minutes ago, but that ain't me. Right now, I'm a new creation. If I've repented and I ask God's forgiveness, it's been washed under the blood. It's severed from me. Gone. That's why we must always have the desire of a new life. I want a new life today, Lord. I want a new life right now, Lord. I want a new life today. I can't do anything about yesterday's life, but I can do something about today's life by staying in the Spirit with Christ, by staying in the Spirit and focusing on the things that He's given me, by staying in the Spirit and walking with Him, by letting His Holy Spirit tell me things to come, by allowing me to look through the eyes of the Lord instead of the eyes of flesh and the eyes of man. You know, we can never tell someone else's hurts unless we're in the Spirit, or else it's soulish. And we want to pat them on the shoulder and go, "Oh, it's okay." When a person could be hindered and needs to be freed up. There's a difference between soulish ministry and spirit ministry. That's why in the jail, a lot of times when the anointing comes, the men begin to weep and cry. I tell those guys, man, leave them alone. They don't need somebody going up to them going, oh, it's okay, man, you just quenched the spirit. As soon as you touch them, the spirit just lifted. That's why you got to have wisdom. You know, and when you're in the spirit, you're going to have the discernment of what spirit is motivating your spirit. Hallelujah. So we have a conscious effort to maintain about staying in the spirit, don't we? We must walk continually in the spirit in Christ so that we have dominion over sin and sin doesn't have dominion over us. It doesn't mean that you're going to think something, because the devil's always going to throw a dart at you, right? Something's going to always occur in that area. You might say something. Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God was in who? Christ, reconciling the world. He's in me and you now, reconciling us to him on a constant. Does everybody get it? That's why when you are not walking in Christ, reconciliation begins to separate. And we begin to go to the affairs of the world and not the affairs of God. It only takes a moment, doesn't it? The next thing we know is, well, how did I get here? How did I get here? What happened? In chapter 6, in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Your own affections, your own desires, your own wants. You're not restricted by anything else but your wants. You know why? Because every one of us has a choice. You know what? We got to stop blaming the devil. The devil did not make you do it. Did not make me do it. The devil did not destroy your house. He did not. You allowed it. We allowed it. The devil did not steal my finances. I let him take it. Just the same way that happened with Adam and Eve. What did they do? They gave up their dominion, didn't they? They didn't have to. They had dominion over everything. They gave it up. They gave up the blessings. They gave up the multiplying. They gave it up. And you and I can give it up too. Just that quick. Just that quick. Hallelujah. And verse 12. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections, your own desires, your own wants, and your own theories. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? You know, he calls an unbeliever darkness, doesn't he? Now he's talking about a difference between being yoked and having to work with somebody. That's why you're not supposed to be marrying someone who's not a believer. How many people get divorced down the road thinking that they're going to change somebody? Well, that person had good potential. I married him because he had good potential. But their house is in an uproar. It's been in an uproar for years. You don't marry people on good potentials. You marry them because God says you do. Amen? In verse 15, And what accord has Christ with Belial, which is Satan? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? See, we lose sight again that we are a holy temple of God. And one, we must be careful of people, places, and things that we touch, things that we say, because we're a holy temple. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And we talked about in and out, in and among. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, or if you will come out from among them. Among what? Among the world. Among the world. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will what? Receive you. Do not touch. Why? Because you are a holy temple. You know, when we touch what's unclean, he can't receive us. Until we've confessed and repented, where the blood has washed us, then he can receive us. Nothing comes until the blood comes first. In verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse. Wait a minute. Who cleanses? Us. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There we go back to the holiness. Why? Because we are a holy temple of God. We are a holy temple of God. In Romans 6. Hallelujah. Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. So who is he saying don't let it reign in you? We're not to allow it to reign in us, are we? Come on, we've had enough live teachings to see that the manifestation of this. Amen. We've had enough live teachings of this over and over and over. Well, we've allowed sin to reign. Bite the bait of Satan. You know, when you're in darkness, you can't see, can you? And we've talked about this before, how Satan throws out that bait and we bite it and we have a hook in our jaw. And you never know when he's going to pull it. Just like that shiner with the big bass, with the big mouth bass, large mouth bass. When that bass bites that shiner, that bass is in, or the shiner's in the bass. And he doesn't know when the dude's going to pull. And the devil does that with me and you. See, he squeezes in, he weasels in. And because we're blinded in something, we bite it. We bite the bait and don't even know it. And the next thing we're getting ready to do is get blessed. Well, all of a sudden we're reconciled to our families. All of a sudden our children are doing great. All of a sudden, all of these wonderful things. We're getting blessed with a job. We're getting blessed with finances, this and that. And Satan's waiting for the opportune time to bring shame to the name of the Lord through us. Because we didn't see it. We didn't see it. Or we didn't receive counsel, or somebody else saw it and we shrugged it off. Because usually somebody else sees it and we blow it off. Well, I got control over that. Whoa. As soon as we say we have control over it, we're in trouble. That's where we need to go to the Lord and scream out and cry out for help. And get direction. Counsel, correction, and direction by the Spirit of God. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, what verse are we in? 8? Okay, good. 6 and 11, 12. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Grace. You're not under the law no more. You're not under the law of sin and death, are you? You're under the grace of God. Well, you know how you get under the grace of God? By getting in Christ. That's what the grace of God is. The grace of God is not under the sin. There is no grace under sin and death of that law, is there? In fact, the wages of sin is death, isn't it? So what grace is there? We're headed on the way to death. But there is grace, and there's great grace in Christ, isn't there? Not that God's not holding off his judgment and trying to rescue us when we blow it. Amen? And that's a form of his grace also, isn't it? But we have great grace when we are in Christ, because grace is also a representation of favor of God, isn't it? Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans. No, let's go to John 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we do John 5? Yeah, sin no more. John 8? Okay, let's try John 5. Praise God. Praise be to God. John 5, and let's see what's happening here. Sometimes my notes are a little hard to read. Okay, in verse, here's another one. In verse 13. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Yow. So he was warning him again, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Praise God. Hopefully he didn't sin no more unless a worse thing came upon him. And James 1. James chapter 1. Praise be to God. We're almost done here. Another scripture. Just a short, simple teaching. All glory. James 1. James 1 and verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We all want to be blessed in what we do, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we got to get in Christ, don't we? We got to sever ourselves from the things of the world so that we have a pure heart, pure mind, and clean hands. Glory to God. Let's keep going. In verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. So he's telling us how we can defile ourselves, can't we? And what we say. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself, what? Unspotted and from the world. Unspotted from the world. Ephesians 2. Glory. What kind of temple are we?
Holy.
We are a holy temple. That's why the Holy Spirit dwells within us. You know, it's so, and like I said, it's just so simple to fall into that. We forget that we are a holy temple of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Taking dominion. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a what? Holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Where? Oh, do you understand why the devil always wants to push you out of the Spirit? If he can push you out of the Spirit, we get sucked into the things of the world. We begin to fulfill ourselves in the desires of the lost. We begin to worship creation instead of Creator. So you and I must make a conscious effort always to stay in the Spirit, no matter what it takes. And when you are having trouble, you need to stop exactly what you're doing, back off, get out, get on your knees and cry out to God and ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't worry about losing your job. It's better than losing your life.
Amen.
It's better than losing your family. It's better than, well, I got to work. Oh, who cares? What good is money going to do when you're in jail again?
Amen.
What good is money going to do when you're in your grave?
Amen.
Depart from evil. Just say no. And then tell it to go. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, that's cool. In Galatians 5:19. Ooh. Galatians 5:19. You know, premeditated sin is not forgiving. Does everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to go sin and I'll just ask God for forgiveness. There is not, it's not unforgiving until there's true repentance. Premeditated sin is not a forgivable sin until there's true repentance from it. Because you said, I'm going to go sin, but God will forgive me, he's not. The Bible tells us that he's got to grant you repentance. Premeditated sin is unforgivable until there's true repentance of the heart. That's why people just go do whatever, don't they? Well, I'm going to go sin, but God will forgive me. No, you're not forgiven. Well, you know, I'll just go out and party up and drink this weekend. God will forgive me, and then I'll go out the next weekend and do it. And God, he's not forgiving you. That sin is still activated. Until the word repent means to turn away. until you've actually turned away from that sin, you are forgiven. But while you're still practicing it, you're not forgiven. Does everybody get it? Well, God will forgive me. I just got to repent for it. And no, you're not forgiven. Well, I'll just fornicate this weekend and then I won't do anything for the whole week and then I'll go to bed with her. You're not forgiven that week. If you die, you go to hell during that week. Because premeditated sin is unforgivable. So the next time the devil entices you into sin and he's telling you, go on, you can just ask God for forgiveness, you won't. Until you turn away. I mean, that's one of the ploys of the devil, isn't it? He knows exactly, he knows the straight, quick way for us to get right to hell. In Galatians 5:19, is everybody there? Now the works of the flesh are evidence, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember we talked about if you're not practicing truth, you're practicing lawlessness. That's the lawlessness. If you're practicing lawlessness, the word tells us that you will not enter the kingdom of God. In fact, in the book of Jude, it tells about somebody being twice dead. Twice dead? It was somebody that was born again and died again. Back to spiritual death. In the book of Jude. And this one is twice dead, Paul called, or Duke called. Twice dead. Somebody that was born again and died again because of sin. Why? Because he was practicing, or she was practicing, lawlessness. Let me tell you something. Those, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against preachers, but I'm against deception. And those that are preaching that once saved, always saved, they're in trouble with God. And they have no idea. How dare anyone to say that once you're saved, as long as you do what you want to do, you can go to heaven. That's incredible. When the Word tells us over and over and over that if those who practice lawlessness will not inherit or enter the kingdom of God. Because what? We're a holy temple of God. Or to live a holy life. It's just an excuse to not live a holy life. That's all it is. But we are required by the hand of God. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit, so that we can have fellowship with Him in the Spirit, so that we can have the power to say no to temptation, to say no to the voice of the stranger, to continue to walk in the anointing of Christ as a new creation and not allowing the things from the past to be brought up into our life so that we get snagged again. We must learn to take dominion. You take dominion by staying in the Spirit, by praise and prayer. Praise and prayer maintains your dominion. Praise and prayer. Well, how does prayer? Come on, turn to Jude. Hello. Jude. Jude 20. Right again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, let's go to verse 12 so I can show you where it says twice dead, okay? And it says in verse 12, look at this. These are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. He's talking about backsliders that have fallen. For those that were born again and died again, twice dead. Oh, maybe we ought to go a little further on this. And why we're there. Let's go to verse 16. These are grumblers, complaining, walking according to their own what? Lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Ever get around someone that can really speak the word, preach the word, flatter, but he can't walk it? No power. No power. The Bible says that we're to what? There are those who are walking denying the power of God. They have a form of godliness but deny the power. You know what they're doing? And it's not talking about those that are saying, well, the Spirit of the Lord, no. God doesn't move this way. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about someone who is denying the power in him. He's rejecting the power that God has given us. Does everybody get that? The individual, whether it be a male or female, is rejecting the power of God that's within us to take dominion. That's denying the power, having a form of godliness. You know how many times I see guys back in our class at jail? Many. Many times. I just saw another person today come back. You know why? A form of godliness, denying the power, caught in the darkness, deceived and blinded, didn't realize it bit the bait of Satan, thinking all right, right? Not walking in the anointing in the Christ. And now they're able to have the power to speak it and to depart from evil. Depart from evil. Number one key. God has given us the power to what? Depart from evil, right? Depart from evil. That's the first thing you and I must do all the time. Depart from it. Even in an argument with someone. If somebody tries to bring up an argument, depart from it. Depart! Because usually involved in an argument, you know what's happening? We're trying to build with wood. We're trying to build with straw. In fact, we're trying to build ourselves up. Or to depart from it. That's power. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word but within power. It's not always just about casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and praying in the Spirit and so forth. It's about having the power to depart from evil. Depart from that evil. Walk away from it. And let the anointing, why? You've got to protect. The Bible says that there's an anointing in me and you. And it's the anointing that will teach us all things. We need not a man to teach us. But if you're not protecting that power, that anointing, because of that holy presence as a holy temple of God, we begin to quench the Spirit. And that's the next thing is we can't hear, we can't discern, we can't... Amen? Verse 17, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions and not having the Spirit or not in fellowship with the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in what?
Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Ghost. Building yourself up in the most holy faith. Taking dominion. Taking dominion. Taking dominion. Why? By praise in prayer. Praise in prayer. Praise in prayer. That's what the Bible says. Lift up a song of praise when you're being attacked. Use it as a weapon. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You know, God gave us tongues for a purpose. He's not a respecter of person. Everybody has. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got tongues. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit delivers all the gifts. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you have every gift in you. Now you just got to access it and use it. Amen? I want to finish with this last simple verse, Exodus 25. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Exodus 25. Hallelujah. Would everybody read verse 8 with me? And the Lord spoke to Moses and he said this. Is everybody there? And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God has wanted a sanctuary from the time he created man to dwell among his people. Let us give him a sanctuary to dwell among us, in us, and with us. Let us be that holy sanctuary for him, taking dominion so that the sanctuary can maintain a holiness. Amen? Praise God. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, we give you glory and honor, and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for your word here tonight. We thank you for allowing us to eat and allowing us to drink. We ask that you seal this word tonight with the blood of Jesus. Seal us with your presence and your glory. Dress us with your countenance, Master. Let us leave here tonight more in your image, more in your likeness, and more of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, forgetting those things of yesterday and of our past, and grabbing hold on to the things of now and our future with you. Lord, we commit all things, into your hands. We thank you, we glorify you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name.